Ooh. Well, good view from here. Good afternoon, church. Today is a very special day, not only for me, starting a new job, but also for the church. And at the beginning, I want to thank a lot of people, you as a church, to vote for me. God, of course, that He chose me, that you could vote me. There's some friends and family here that came from all over the country to be here. Thank you for joining. And last but not least, thank you very much for Jeff. There's a lot of people here today that don't speak English, and there was no translator today, so he jumped into the gap and he's translating. Thank you very much, Jeff. So today is not only, as I said, a special day for me, but starting this new job, but also for this church. You got to handle me from now on. When Scott told me the first time in worship service that I'm the guy that was chosen to be second pastor, a lot of people came to me afterwards, happy, hugged me, shook hands. That made me very happy. And I hope after a year or so, or 5 years, this doesn't change. Today is a day where two things start to change, my life and the life of the church. I got to integrate being pastor of this church into my life, and the church, that is you, has to start integrate me into your life as a church, not privately. And that will change things. We are a growing church community, so it is understandable that a second pastor is needed. Work for Scott is a lot. And we both already talked about what from now on I got to do and he has got to do. That means from now on I will do all the things that are good and are fun, like birthday parties, summer festivals. And Scott is doing all the things that are boring, stressful, nasty. No, I'm just kidding. That reminds me of the mother that is beating hardly against the door of her son. Son, you gotta get up. Church is starting in a while. I don't want to get up. I don't want to go to church. Mommy's knocking harder. Son, I told you to get up. You have to go to church and it's going to start pretty soon. But I don't want to go to church. People there in church don't like me and I don't like the people. I want to stay in bed. Son, for the last time, you have to go to church, so get up. Mommy, give me 2 reasons why I should go to church today. Okay, son, you're 46 years old and you're the pastor of the church. Get up and go. It is obvious that a growing church needs more people that are supporting. But why does a church need a second pastor, especially for outreach and mission, or outreach and this is the word I can't say in English. Why is it necessary that an international church like ours has to start a second service? Because it is God's will. Because God has never said, be satisfied in the status you have. You've got a wonderful church community, nice people, great services, good small groups, wonderful activities. So lean back. Jesus has said, go and make disciples and teach them. Go and teach. These are 2 activities where we get to move. 2 activities where it is good to leave our sofas and get out. Leave our trust zones. Why? The reason is love. The Bible says, love God with all your heart and love your neighbor as yourself. So it is clear that a church has to be a growing church, a missionary church, a church where disciples are making disciples in a world that seems not to be interested in church anymore. We are living in the so-called Christian Occident. We are living in the country of Reformation. Martin Luther was born no more than 190 kilometers from here. That is about 120 miles from where we meet today. On the other hand, we have in our country just about 2% real believers. Guess what? China has about 4. Okay.
What do you mean with real believers?
Let's say attendees in Sunday worship service, 2%, or about 2% of the people living in Germany have a relationship to Jesus Christ. Are we a non-religious, non-spiritual country? No. I have a favorite place where I like to buy organic food. It's not far from here at the Albrechtstraße. If you enter the store, like in many other stores, you start with a fruit and vegetable corner. And who is sitting there? Not a friendly senior like in some Walmarts in the US shaking hands, good to see you. It is a big Buddha. Buddha is sitting between apples and oranges. Why is that? For a lot of people, Buddha is a synonym for health, wellness, meditation, inner balance. I would say those people have no idea what Buddhism means. Buddhism means primarily abstinence. Buddhism is what I think hostile of to life. But people have in mind it is a synonym for a peaceful, balanced life. You can buy Buddha statues in plastic for €3 or in bronze for €1,000. On every corner you see advertisements for yoga and meditation. You get Tao music in supermarkets and tarot cards at the kiosk around the corner. At H&M you can buy rosaries. The Pope today is as cool as the Dalai Lama or Nina Hagen. Prominent people like Harper Kerkeling walk the road to Santiago de Compostela, and his book was sold over 3 million. This was a joke that wasn't supposed to be a joke. And his book about his walk was sold over 3 million times. Over 100 weeks, it was Germany's absolute bestseller. 20 years ago, it would have been impossible to speak about prayer in public. Prayer was something old-fashioned, something for old people, uncool. Today, that has changed. In a lot of daily soaps, one role is the role of a pastor, or a nun, or a priest. Today, prayer is as common as meditation, or what they call self-absorption. There is a shop around the corner, right here, besides other esoteric stuff, stones. Great idea. You can buy stones for everything. Stones for healing, stones for inner peace, stones for meditation. But guess what? These are only stones. But people buy it because they are religious. They believe. A big company for holidays has advertisers with those words. I translated them from German to English, so maybe it's not the 100% the sense. Black olives, the power of nourish, the spirit, oil, the holy, the anointment, healthy, prepared. I meet myself calmly, and I meet you, life, and get to know yourself in meditation. Let all your senses be overflown. Spoil your body and foster your aura. Understand food as a resource. And you know what? This is a usual company. No spiritual thing. But besides all that, churches are empty. The only plus, I would say, on the edge of church life, this only plus goes to monasteries. It is trendy to pilgrimage out of this world into a new exotic world of silence. Why is that? Christians' traditions lose ground, but people seek for spirituality. I don't want to bore you with analysis, but studies in our country found out that about 15% of the people living in our country, that are over 6 million people, are active seekers for spiritual reorientation. 6 million people in our country. For them, and I believe the number is much higher, I believe that a lot more people are seekers, but they just don't have the courage to tell it. For them, spirituality has less to do with truth. It has to do with experience. A friend told me, you know why people don't go to church anymore? They seek for water, and people explain them what H2O is. No experience at all. Same studies found out that over the last 20 years, the number of people that call themselves religious or spiritual has increased over 50%, 50. In the same time, most of the German churches shrink. Most of the churches are empty on Sunday morning. Churches lose a huge amount of people. When you ask people on the streets, they find a lot of things attractive in the Eastern religions, Buddha, meditation, yoga, and stuff like that. But the same people say, if you're talking about church, you're talking about boring stuff. Church is boring. Church has nothing to do with my life. Church has nothing to say anymore for our modern times. Church is more a moralistic instance than a place where you can meet God. On the other hand, there is us, the church. Church is not this building. Church is you and me. Church is no organization. We are here this morning not only to see somebody being installed as a pastor or somebody else who does the work for this church. I hope we are here not only for the potluck afterwards. I mean, it's a good reason to come, but not... And not only for the things that happen too. Scott has threatened already that people are going to make silly games with me. So my suggestion is eat and run away. I hope you're here this morning because you're a child of God. Is anybody here this morning who believes that Jesus is the Lord? Yes, some are very... Yes. Okay. Is anybody here this morning who believes that Jesus is living today? Amen. Is anybody here that thinks that Jesus has something to say in our life? Amen. So on the one hand, we have the people, that a lot of people that are religious and spiritual, and I strongly believe it's more than 50% of the population. On the other hand, also we have the church. And even I think this is a wonderful church here. That's why we go here. We still have room for more. And this is why we start a second service this year, I promise. And then we're going to have even more space for more people. On the one hand, people in our country say the church is nothing, has nothing to say anymore. On the other hand, we believe in the same Jesus who has said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And the same Jesus that says, I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. I got three things in my mind where I think it's important for us as a church to go on and to take steps. The first is change things that need to be changed and leave things that are not needed to be changed. I truly believe we are believing in the truth. We believe Jesus is real. We believe that Jesus has reconciled us with God Almighty, but we only reach a small amount of people. Yes, we can be happy. We're an international English-speaking church. There's not many international English-speaking people in Germany, and we have about 180 people every Sunday. Wow! And Scott told me years ago when he came here, it was about 70 people. So we have huge growth, but What about the others? What about our friends? What about our neighbors? What about our colleagues? What about our boss, the earthly boss? What about the people we meet during the day, every day, in the supermarkets, in public transport, the guy who brings us the letters, the postman? If we don't reach them with the love of God, the way we tried the last years, we need to think about change. We need to think about changing things. The Apostle Paul says, though I am free and I belong to no one, I have made myself a slave to everyone to win as many as possible. To those under the law I became, to the Jews I became like a Jew to win the Jews. To those under the law I became like one under the law, though I myself am not under the law. So as to win those under those, that's hard to see where I have to change the chart and then to. So as to win those under the law, to those not having the law, because I am like one not having the law, though I am not free from God's law, but am under Christ's law. So as to win those not having the law, to the weak I became weak to win the weak. I have become all things to all people, so that by all possible means I might save one. I do all this for the sake of the gospel, that I may share in its blessing. Makes things easier. Paul said, Paul has become all things to all people, so by all possible means he might save some. That doesn't mean that Paul changed the message, but it means that he changed the way to spread the gospel. He changed it in a way that it became attractive to his, what we call his target group. Paul was different to the Jews than he was to the Gentiles. He was different to the people under the law than to the people that were not under the law. He was different to the people that were weak than to the people that were strong. He was different to the people who had a Buddha in their vegetables and fruits than to people who practiced yoga. Different to the people who believe in money and insurances than to people who meditate to find inner peace. What that means for us is we have to start thinking, who are the people we want to reach? Who are our neighbors? Who is the guy sitting at the cashier at the supermarket? What are their needs? What are their concerns? Which language are they speaking? And I don't mean German or English or Spanish. What culture are they living in? What is their spirituality? And what do we have to answer? How can we answer? We got to find ways to reach people so that they may listen to the good news. The way we did it over the last 60 years in Germany, they didn't work out, or didn't work out enough. IBC is a growing church, so we can see that it is still possible to reach people in Berlin today. So we're going to have to change things, but we also have to preserve things. We are a target group too, and we need a worship service that fits for us too. So the best way to solve this problem is start a second service. So we can be a little bit more, we can try a little bit more things in the new service and see what works out there. And also we can change things in this service that are needed to be changed. Probably a new service will look totally different than this one. Probably not. Probably we change a lot of things at a new service. Probably we need to change things at the noon service too. The goal is to make disciple-making disciples for the love of God. The second, a pastor is a pastor is a pastor. For me, it is a great honor and pleasure to serve, to get the chance to serve you, to get a chance to serve the Lord at the IBC. to serve the IBC. I'm pretty sure that it was not by accident that our ways have crossed. Scott invited me last fall for lunch. Always be careful if he invites you for lunch. And then he said he thinks that it is time for a second service, second location, second pastor. And he was pretty sure that God told him it was you. And I said, Scott, but you know that I'm not seeking for a job. And another thing you should take care, got to be careful, he said, pray about it. Dangerous. Today, after praying together, visioning together, after wrestling, after seeking, I'm 100% sure that Scott was right, that God was right. It's an honor and pleasure for me to work together with a pastor that is more than a pastor for me. He became a friend and a brother. And it's wonderful to see how God works among you as the church community. My family and me, we love this church. We love you. The but is, big but, as Pastor Scott is only, probably you didn't know before, he's only a human being, though he is pastor. I'm only a human being, though I'm a pastor. We both have our strengths, and we both have our weaknesses. And we need you. If we want to reach more people in this town, Berlin, if we want to start a second service, if we want to have good small groups, more elements in service, like probably a drama team or decoration or whatever, we need you. A pastor is a pastor. And it is not only by accident that Scott and I are very different in character. We both can have dreams, visions, directions from God, but we are not the church, though we are part of the church. The church is you. And when the church has to move forward, has to change things, has to try new ways, it means that not only we, Scott and me, have to change things. We need you. You are the church. You are God's people. You speak the language of the people that are around you and the people we as a church want to reach. You know how to talk to your friends. You live your life in your life areas. You can become all things to the people you live with. And you could reach people we never can reach. We need you. The Bible says that every Christian, every believer is gifted by God. For what reason? To build the kingdom of God. This is the only reason. You are gifted. You are talented. You are a treasure in God's kingdom. So please think about and please pray about and then decide and commit things how we can together reach more people in this town, Berlin. I'm so much dreaming about different ministries and a new service. Why not coach younger people, the youth, for technique or for the beamer? Why not finding people that are willing to play drama? Why not finding somebody who wants to lead a drama group? Why not having a decoration team so that guests feel more comfortable when they enter the sanctuary? What about music? Two services mean we need more musicians and more people who are willing to lead music. Wonderful service today, by the way. Thank you so much. What about a service leader? What's that? Somebody who kind of moderates the service so that the pastor doesn't have to do everything. It would be so fantastic. What about prayer? Wouldn't it be great if we had a prayer group that would pray while the sermon is going on? That some people in the back would pray for guests, that the gospel reaches their hearts? Wouldn't that be perfect? What about a film team? Young people who would go out on the streets, make interviews, make films, whatever, and we would show them here. Wow. Very important. What about kids ministry? We need more people who take care for the kids. If we reach young people, young families in the second service, who's going to take care for the kids and for the youth? And so on and so on. I got a lot of dreams, and I know Scott has a lot of dreams, and probably those dreams are a little different than my dreams, but we are both not sure what God has in stock for the future. The only thing I know is it is not by accident that you are here to join this church. God has given you wonderful talents. I don't know which talents you have. I only know if we put all the talents together and create church with more people serving, more talents together, and bring more people bringing their talents to God, we'd have a wonderful, colorful bouquet of flowers. I'm only a pastor. Scott is only a pastor. Together with you, we are church. Number three, it's worth it. Change always gives strange emotions. Who is that new guy in front? Will things change so that I don't feel comfortable anymore? Do I have to do something? What does it cost? What if it doesn't work out? I can understand that. I'm a man that doesn't like changes. Probably you've seen, we always sit there in the same row at the same places. I hate changes. I love going to the same places for holidays every summer, ever and ever and ever. I love having stuff at the same place in my office. Whenever you visit me in my office and you say, can I have your duct tape? I know where it is. I need it. Even in my Christian rock band, I hate it when someone has the wonderful idea again of rearranging the band rehearsal room. I hate it. I feel uncomfortable. So I understand your concerns. I understand all concerns. I also can understand thoughts like, do we have two churches after a while? Do I then still know everybody? I can promise things will change from now on. And it will cost us something. For some it is that they're going to support the new service and spend more time and talents than they did before. For some it will be the way that they support church, like starting paying tithes. Some will lose their friends because the friends join the new service. Some will lose their friends because their friends join the old service, the noon service. New people will come to church and new people will change the church. But for the reason that Jesus gave us the command to make disciples. And on the other hand, he said he will give us life that is full, to the full. By the way, you know what to the full means? I got a wonderful picture. I, as a Ferrari, I love pizza. Anybody here who likes pizza? You know what pizza to the full is? You eat it and eat it and eat it. It's delicious and it's like here after a while. Too much. You know what God promises you? A life that is so excited that you almost can't stand it. Or on the other hand, he says, go and make disciples. Could it be that those two things belong together? That it makes my life richer when I give my talents to a second service, to a small group, to the kingdom of God? Can it be that it makes my life exciting when I serve the Lord? That has something to do to become all things, to reach people, to change, to open your heart, to open your mind. We know that life is more than success. We know that life is more than money, more than having friends and hobbies that are nice things. But life is more. If we open our minds, if we are obeying God and take the next step, God will bless us, I'm pretty sure. And for some of you, of course, it means that you have to work more for the church, for the service, for God. And for some of you, it may mean that you open your wallet. For some of you, something else. But I'm sure God blesses it. God has, and I want to finish with that, God has no interest in things like not having enough time for the family, not having enough money to survive, not having enough time to relax and burn out. Just as our Savior, as our friend and shepherd, wants to open the doors that will help us on our spiritual way through our lives, Jesus Himself will help us, guide us. He shows us how much we shall involve in church. Nobody else. He will show us the next step. And when Paul said he'd become a Jew for the Jews and the weak for the weak, he didn't do that just because it was his own will, but it was God's will. And probably, besides all fears we have, it could make our life richer. So it may be that the next time will not be easy. Probably some things will hurt, like changes often hurt. Probably some things scare or make us feel uncomfortable. But I'm pretty sure it will be worth it, for it makes our lives and the life of the church richer. And we can grow in spirit, in belief, in character, by trying new things, trusting the Lord, even when we fail in some ways. So please, church, as you install me today as your second pastor, as you lay hands on me in a second and pray for me and bless me, please, let us walk together. Let us pray together. Let us fight together. Let us struggle together. And let us get up again together. And finally, let us win together for the kingdom of God. May God bless us. Amen.